I don't know how the weather is where you are, but we're having some interesting times in Sedona. Always in July, the monsoons come, and the heat pretty much is gone for the season. Isn't that interesting that here on the desert, our hottest month of the year is June? There's something really fascinating about the way weather builds up to a certain peak of heat, and then the rains come and cool it down. Actually, I want to talk some, maybe not our whole time together today, about these polarizations that exist in nature, that nature was designed to live with, but not necessarily us. And how do we live in a world that sometimes gets too polarized, too opposed, too in the ditch, too in conflict, too unforgiving? I thought we would spend a little time in that, because all of these various conditions that we could find relevance for in nature, when they come into the human tapestry, it edges us toward judgment, and then we forget our eternal antidote to these situations and become lost in the taffy pull, shall we say, where instead of sitting back and letting the candy cool, we just keep pulling on it and get our hands stuck in it. So those are just some of the things I would like to talk to you about today. But I would also like to invite participation, because I know in the last few weeks we have had some callers we didn't get around to. This is pretty much the way we have to use our time, because we have fewer callers on the early part of the call where we're in an open discussion. Then more people want to hear my message, and then everybody coming wants to receive a sacramental blessing from Yeshua. So now is a great time for our community time. And if there's anything you want to share with your fellow members of this community, I'm watching my message board and would love to open your line. While I'm waiting for somebody, I do want to thank all of you for such a tremendous supportive response to our request for help. It seems as though no matter what good work we do in the world or how close we are to God, sometimes we fall into the patterns of cause, effect, and demands for survival in the world. And we can even sometimes be so lost in doing good work that we forget to take care of ourselves. There's a lot of reasons why stressful things can happen in the midst of good services and good programs. And I think today might be a wonderful time to discuss some of those. But I just want to thank all of you. We had a tremendous response to your Christmas shopping in July, which is a real boost to our production, because not only does it provide rain on our crops, it gives good work to our staff, which means we don't have to lay off anyone. And then your generous donations just warmed my heart and touched me to the core of my soul, because I could see from your actions how much this really means to you, how much it's given to your life, and how much good you would like to see continue to be given in the world for others. We are doing great world work, and I think I'm going to do a newsletter at some time that just contains some of the acknowledgments of what we've done. In the meantime, we do have a caller who's come in. It's anonymous, but I'm sure you know who you are, and you're on.
Hi, Kalenda.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you with all my heart. Your calls have meant so much. And I was going to ask for words of wisdom when there's nudgings, there's been encouragements in your last calls to do the next right thing, so to speak, of following God's guidance. And when there's blocks, not feeling the capacity to, or depression, or you know, just life blocks, I just knew that you would channel some beautiful words of wisdom, and Yeshua would through you. So that's what I was going to ask. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, and thanks for speaking up. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate that you had the courage to ask that question, because it's an everybody question. Let me just start with a little story about something that happened recently. Someone I know that I was visiting, I have open access to their quarters because we're very close friends. I came in and I found this person down, flat on the floor. And of course, I went up and I said, do I need to call 911, or are you okay? And this was a very strong person who said, no, don't call 911. I'm okay, but I fell and I don't have enough strength to get up. And so we did the little test to make sure that there was not a stroke that had caused the accident. So, and this person was very insistent, no, do not call anybody, I'm okay. And I said, okay, well, let's see if we can get you up. And I brought a chair up, and he couldn't pull himself up by the chair. And it's, no, I don't have enough strength. Now, I'm talking about a very strong person, okay? And I said, okay, let's see if we can get your legs under you, because your legs are the strongest part of your body. If we can get them under you, I can't even move my legs. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what are we – I was telling myself, call 911, get an ambulance. And he said, no, absolutely not. I'm okay. So I thought, okay, where can I find an extra sheet? And so I pulled a sheet under him. I couldn't, in my current condition, I probably couldn't lift a dog right now. But if I could get a sheet under him, I could pull the two sides up. And I could lift him up to where he could move his feet under him. Well, he did. He got his feet under him, got his hands under him, and then we got him in the chair. And I said, what in the world happened? I just lost all my strength. I don't know what it is. I said, you're going to follow up with a doctor's appointment, right? Yeah, I will. I just need to rest for now. Okay. Well, see, this could be taken as a parable of lots of areas of life. Sometimes we could be strong in a lot of things, and we just, for one reason or another, get swept away by some event that moves our strength out from under us. It could be a combination of events, and we see it as a block. You know, you could project something negative in it. You could say, oh, this evil force is out to get me, or I know that some dark dream I had did this to me. You could assign evil forces, but I think it's better not to, because that would be my last course of explanation. The fact is, sometimes we just move into a situation where our strength is gone and we need help. What we really need to do is to learn to ask for help and to be there facilitating help for others, and to allow ourselves to be a conduit in all forms of life for God's help. It's such a privilege to be an extension of God's help and to be there assisting one another when somehow, you know, I had a friend who was a very strong swimmer. Actually, she was training for the Olympics, and she was in a river, and an undertow got her, swept her away. Fortunately, there was a bend in the river. She knew how to hold, to hold her breath, and go with the flow, and there was a bend in the river that washed her up on the sand. So she didn't lose her life, but a lesser swimmer would have. See, that's an example of sometimes the strongest people can just lose their strength, and down they go. So I would say the first thing to do is don't judge yourself, and don't say, what's wrong with me? Just appreciate the crisis of the moment and say, I need help. God, please direct me to my closest avenue of help. Sometimes that help, like the swimmer, would be to use valuable abilities you've already cultivated until you can collect yourself and then with a clarity of mind, know how to maneuver the rocks and the banks and the bends in the river until you can find some external help. It's hard to say sometimes where the external help will come from. It could come from a doctor, your best friend, your partner, your life mate, a child, a parent, your best friend. It could come from someone who has just benefited forever from good work you do. You never know where the help will come from. But the scriptures say, I lift my eyes to the heavens from whence cometh my help. In other words, we turn to God. We turn to God's strength because that is our first avenue of help in all things. And when we send that SOS to God, God's help will come to us through the many external sources. And sometimes it is just removing a block. But it's always better if we just say, I don't know what's going on, but I need help. This may not turn around. It may be a critical event if I don't simply ask for help. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that more? Well, for one reason, we have been raised in a world that taught us to be self-sufficient, independent. And those are good character traits, but not if carried too far. As a matter of fact, if carried too far, it can leave us helpless. It could even make us judgmental for those who need help and ask for it. We were never meant to live alone. We were meant to carry our load as far as we can and then ask for assistance to carry the rest, what we can't. We are a community. Humanity is one huge family. And granted, we've got some dysfunctional aspects that would be very, very nice if we could overcome. But there are always parts of the family you can draw upon. And as you do your spiritual work and your personal growth work, we can contribute to the ending of this global dysfunction that is draining so much energy from so many people. Can you just imagine how much more food there would be, how much more health there would be, how much more energy for innovations there would be if we could just end the wars? Just that one thing. And you may say, well, that's not a small thing, Glenda. Actually, it's not small, but it's not as big as the war creators want us to think it is. They advance war by intimidating us with small wars. Until we become so afraid and so hostile, we agree to the escalation of war. So it's big, but it's not huge. And nothing is bigger than God. Nothing. We first turn our hearts, our minds, our souls to God. As Yeshua said, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, go there first. That's where you will receive your coping orders. I started to say marching orders, but I don't want to imply anything military about it. But we all have to cope, so we'll call it coping orders, okay? how we cope with a situation, and God will bring us those answers. Thank you so much for this question, because it helped me to build into what I want to talk to you today about, the difference between conflict and polarity that's just part of nature, and the way we accelerate it unnecessarily. But we do have another caller in the meantime, and I would love to hear from you and see how you're doing. So we have someone from area code 403.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi, this is Karen here. I wasn't going to phone in until I heard the first lady speak and how you encourage sharing other than questions. But it kind of leads into what you were saying. I've been on the path for a long, long, long time. And it was about a month ago, a friend said to me, Karen, you're dependent on believing that the experiences you have with Jesus and Mother Mary are external to you. Mm-hmm. And as she was talking, I saw myself, I was up on a ladder, and
that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, well, I was hanging up a picture, and I saw myself standing outside of my heart, looking at life and at God, kind of like somebody with their nose up against the window, mm-hmm. looking through the window. And as she was talking about something else, I saw myself step into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has been completely different since then. I've had many experiences with Jesus and Mother Mary, and I can't explain it. So when I hear questions that we all have, because we're always evolving, is that for me, my world has drastically changed since I've, at the cellular level, realized that God, Jesus, Mary, is all inside of me.
That's right.
For 26 years, mm-hmm. on the path and doing energy work and meditation, et cetera, et cetera, I was told occasionally, that I was separating myself. And I can't say to you what I did or whatever, it just was the evolution of my soul. And I would encourage anybody to really ask God to help them really, really know and understand the power that is within the Sacred Heart, and that it's all inside. And I know that you will have words to say. It's and that was one of the things that struck me when it happened to me. And it's true. I really felt this. I thought, I wonder how Glenda felt when Yeshua first appeared. Because he had the external form, and maybe it's too personal, but it's like, well, obviously you knew this was all inside of you, and but it's such a subtlety of evolution of, and I've even found in conclusion that I don't, I just don't have a language anymore, Glenda, and I realized that up until that point and up until now is that I've always spoken in duality, like there's me and there's you and there's there and there's here, and I know the world mm-hmm. operates that mm-hmm. way, and I've spoken to some other people, they're finding too that it's like they don't have a language at the moment, and they often find mm-hmm. they're going to say something, and it's like it falls away, like it scatters like paper. So anyway, mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that because for me is that there's such an enrichment in my life now, is that it's not like the game has stopped, but it's like the eyes are clear.
Yes. Yes. And what happened to you can happen to anyone.
Oh, for
anyone.
Sure.
Anyone. And we are destined. It is our destiny to reclaim our understanding of ourselves as the soul that we are. And this was just the perfect bridge into what I wanted to talk about today. So thank you so much for making that contribution. And I'm going to just move into my message, because I don't think we could have a better entry. And the first thing I want to say is I always shudder a little bit when people talk about, I've got to get in touch with my soul. As if the soul is external to you. My friends, you are your soul. You are the eternal soul. You are the person who arrived at birth and was with yourself before you entered this body. You are the one who will depart this body and still be with yourself. You are the soul. And your soul is with God. And your soul is with the whole community of its companions in the creation and distribution of love in this universe. Now, and I want to talk about the Sacred Heart and our relationship to God as well, but I want to do what may seem like a digression first, because I need to set a backstory in which all of this will make more sense to everybody in terms of the games we play and the challenges we have. Now, the way this universe is created is that there is positive and negative polarity. Without positively charged electrons and negatively charged electrons, the glue that holds the universe together would just not be here. Without storms that bring in the rain, and the rains move the animals to migration, where then new grasses can be created in the place they've overgrazed, and new birth can follow with them where they go, and so on, without forest fires to burn down excess growth in the forest and reforest the primitive and primal areas of nature, we would not have a healthy nature were it not for the plentiful creation of rabbits. The coyotes would have no food. Please, please appreciate the fact that God created the universe through the first 6 days on polarity. Now, why do you think that even with the universe being so beautiful, even with the animal life being filled with such love as we know it to be, to have such healing power as we know it to have, such life-giving power as we know it to have, God felt no companionship. That is the key motivating force to the seventh day of creation. Now, what was it about God that the first 7 days, the first 6 days did not satisfy and did not fulfill, that there had to be a seventh day? The seventh day was the creation of a soul. This has been way falsely reported to be just a body. I'm sure that a unique body capable of being ensouled with a non-polarized being was part of the creation. No doubt there. I'm just talking about emphasis. I think the emphasis has been on the wrong part of creation. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, before there was ever creation, before you were ever in a womb, I knew you, which means I knew you as a soul. We were first created as souls, my friends. And a soul is not polarized. A soul is in complete wholeness and unity. And a soul was given to live in a polarized world. Interesting proposition, don't you think? All of nature is polarized. It all is. And yet in the presence of the soul, the lamb can lie down with the lion safely. We bring, this is our gift that God gave to us to give, and that is a non-polarized presence in the world. Peace into the world. And you could say, well, Glenda, isn't love the answer? And I would say, yes, ultimately, love is the answer because love is the common denominator of all creation from the very beginning of time on through. But remember, the coyote loves the rabbit. He still makes food out of him, but he loves him. What's unique about us is the way we love. The way we love is an unconditional love that is not driven toward judgment, polarity, attachment, possessiveness. And how do we get to that place? Well, certainly not automatically. This is our life work. This is the journey we move through in life to hopefully get to the place where we can hold our center of peace in a world that's not always in balance and sometimes appropriately out of balance. For example, the storms are needed. But how do we do that? How do we find our place and give our peace into that world? This is our divine destiny to be able to do that. Just as Yeshua said, I am in the world, but not of the world. In other words, I am not a product of this polarity and duality you find. He came to bring peace into the world, but not through ending all conflict. And he's very clear about that in the scriptures. He came to bring peace inside us, to help us to know, first of all, who we are. That we are love. We weren't just created by love. We are love. We are a soul. We are a soul given to be unified within itself. And to see, to look outside from the inside of who we are. To see the world fall into a greater pattern of peace, of unity, of coherence, of love, and cooperation. This doesn't mean all problems will end, but it means that we, the children of God, will not accelerate those problems. We, the children of God, will not take a problem and use it to justify why we're angry about something. It means we, the children of God, will not use the problems of the world to justify creating more of them, or committing crimes to solve them. Objectively, upon the natural polarity that occurs in life, and we'll create wind machines, or we'll create new avenues for medicine and healing. We will facilitate nature to do its work with more harmony and less destruction. You see, we are children of the seventh day. We were created to find our connection with God, our peace in God, and our peace in the world. Now, in order to do that, you've got to come all the way in and become fully ensouled as a person. And this is what our second caller was telling you about. She'd been looking into the heart from the outside. How often do we look at God as an outside force? How often do we look at angels and the Holy Spirit and Yeshua and all the blessings of life as outside ourselves? Oh, gee, if I could just have a better idea about how to tap in to the gold on that mountain. Oh, man, I could use that to build a fortress for myself, still outside yourself. Once you move inside and you're looking outside, everything changes. It doesn't mean that you'll stop having some conflicts in life, some blockages, some resistances, because it's part of nature. It's out there. The first 6 days of creation, my heavens, were built around the struggle for creation and evolution in the universe against resistance. Resistance was part of creation. It's not going away. Not right now it's not going away. I feel eventually it will. I think that this is my opinion. This is not scriptural, but I bet, I'm not really a betting person, so I shouldn't have used that word, but I would highly suggest that if I look carefully with this thought in mind, I would find somewhere in the scriptures or in what Yeshua said that our universe is going to do a mirror image of itself, where it reached an apex of polarity. And through the children of the seventh day, that polarity will slowly begin to be resolved into harmony, positive solutions, better ways of living, until it's more and more and more resolved. And then the entire universe reclaims its unity with the Creator. I think that's what's going to happen. And I see the way it happens at times in my life, and I study the lives of transcendent people, and I see how it happened for them. And I think that's what we can expect, is that we will look back upon our lives in this earth, even though sometimes they're very challenging, as the lives that turned everything around. When we move from conflict to resolution, bit by bit by bit. And you may think your contribution's small, but just consider the Great Barrier Reef that's just made up of little teeny tiny shellfish. One by one, they could do nothing, but collectively, they built an incredibly beautiful environment, which is like the most gorgeous aquarium in the world for beautiful fish to swim in. And I also believe that one of the great secrets, I think there are three great secrets, and Yeshua taught all of them, to escaping polarity, escaping it. We find ourselves in it. We find ourselves stuck in it. The first thing we need to do is forgive something or someone. It may be we need to forgive whatever situation we didn't expect appropriately. Then we may need to forgive someone. We may need to forgive ourselves. We may need to forgive the fact that something challenged our autonomy or our faith, and just forgive and say, well, I guess this is one of those times I even need to forgive the fact that my faith wasn't enough. The next thing we do is we ask for help. Yeshua told us to give and receive help freely. And the third thing we need to do, which Yeshua also taught, is to make new choices. You know, this is the interesting thing about the power and the freedom we've been given as human beings, and that is the power of free will. No matter what predicament we find ourselves in, we can always make a new choice. And making a new choice neutralizes our stuck position in something that's not working the way it should. Making that new choice could mean moving to a new place, changing how you make your living, doing something different with your health, making up with a friend getting back with your family, making a new choice. And we can always make a new choice. We are not stuck in our choices. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand the power of that. And I'm, even though I know I'm running over time just a little bit, that is an incredibly powerful thing for you to learn. Because the fact that you can make a new choice about anything means you have already been forgiven by God. You do not have to live out the consequences of all the old choices you made in your life unless you choose to. Or unless you hang on to what you won't forgive. Okay? That's a big deal. Unless you keep hanging on to what you won't forgive. Unless you won't ask for help. God has already forgiven you everything. Everything, my friends. What's holding you back is you're not making new choices. And it could just be little new choices. But you have the free will. You do not have to live out every act of consequence you've chosen, providing you will also forgive others. As in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our debts as we forgive others. Okay, that's a key. And you ask for help, and you make a new choice. And when you do that, you step outside the polarized, conflicting part of the universe to where you are one with yourself. Self and soul mean the same thing, my friends. Sometimes we say, well, I know I'm myself, but I'd sure like to be in my soul. Oh, bad use of language. Now, there's a language problem. You are your soul. Your soul is yourself. And when you do those three things, make a better choice, forgive others, ask for help, you have done to yourself and to the universe what you would like others to do to you, what you should be doing to others. This is exactly how we make that three-point turn that you have to make in a driving, to pass your driving test. You got to make a three-point turn. Well, that's your three-point turn, always. Always. Then you turn around. And by the way, that's the only thing repentance ever meant. When that was the most important teaching of Yeshua and the most important teaching in the first century of Christianity and by all the apostles. And repentance had nothing to do with confessing what a dirty sinner you were. I've been the prodigal son who's done all these awful things. God, please, will you forgive me and take me back? That is a total misunderstanding that turned into judgment, that turned into further embedding in the duality of the universe. The three-point turn is realizing you've already been forgiven. You just have to turn around. That's the work you have to put into it. Forgive others, make new choices, and ask for help. That's it. Okay, now having said that, that's a very big, big thing. It's so big, we're going to cover it in depth when we do our course coming up about what matters most. And by the way, just to take another 10 seconds, I have postponed that course until the second week in September because with some very good advice from many people, lots of people are getting back from school, coming back from vacation, then wanting to get through Labor Day. And so they ask, please, 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 Glenda, this is such an important course. Can't we start it the first week in September? So I agreed. So that's why you haven't heard, you haven't gotten the information in the mail. But you will soon because I know you're going to want to pre-enroll in that course. But knowing about the universe and how it really works, knowing that you've already been forgiven, whew, that goes way up on the list of what matters most. I'm telling you, it goes way up there. Now, with the spirit of knowing, you've already been forgiven, and that we're asking for you this day, we're asking for better, newer, more productive choices for you. We're asking for help for you. And we're asking for you on behalf of you that whoever has transgressed against you be forgiven and moved out of your life, that those transgressions can happen no more. We're going to help you with that three-point turn right now through this blessing. And all I ask is that you move into your heart, being inside your heart, releasing your mind, just being there in the sweet, humble prayer of a child in the presence of our Creator. We ask of our Creator all things good for you, all things wonderful for you, and that you see life in the most beautiful way as you've never seen it before, that all things may be healed. I will say my prayer to Yeshua, and then I ask that our blessing givers join me in conveying the live energetic blessing from the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, I first of all want to thank you for my own strength restored, which you have done so abundantly, physically, in terms of my health, and in terms of courage to ask for help for this enormously important work in the world, that we give our lives so deeply and richly to fulfill on your behalf. And I thank you for every person here who has come as a little child in faith to ask for your blessing, for your help in having a better life and having all of their needs met and their strengths upheld, that they may do their very best in a world that needs harmonious solutions. We thank you for bringing the very life of the Creator into us, that we may know that God is not elsewhere, but living within us, that the Holy Spirit is not elsewhere, but living within us. We thank you for always being with us and walking on the path as our companion, teaching us how to learn from the challenges of life and yet being more than the world can ever be. Amen. Let us begin. You continue your prayer for about 3 minutes, and then I'll tell you when to rest. Your blessing is complete. Now I would like you to go and rest and just assimilate. Don't think. Don't continue your prayer. Just rest and receive and let the blessings fill you with the love of God. And know that your life has been blessed and that many wonderful opportunities will open up to you in the days and weeks ahead. I send you my love as well and look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye.